I'd like to start off by thanking all my friends over here for helping me. They've done a great job so far, and hopefully I can keep that up. I'd like to also start off by thanking the elders and Ray for allowing me to do this. It's a great privilege to come out here every Wednesday night and to hear our peers speak to us and to try to learn something from them that get a different perspective on things. Tonight, we've been going through the unplug session, and now we've started working back into how we reconnect to God through these things. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about fasting. And when I got the topic of fasting, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little worried about it. I don't know much about fasting. I didn't know much about fasting, so it was something that I really had to work on and look into. And so it made me even more nervous when the other day I realized that I was speaking about fasting 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And then I just got completely nervous, and it started to really sink in that I had a tough task ahead of me. Because in our lives today, we don't take fasting very seriously. I don't know a lot of people that have done it. I know I myself haven't fasted before. And it's something that we're commanded to do in the Bible. In the Scripture, we have multiple examples of people fasting in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're commanded a couple times by Jesus even to fast. And so tonight, I want you to keep in your minds as we go through this, as I go through a couple points, I really want you to keep in your mind a little bit and think about this question. Why don't we fast? Why you yourself don't fast, and why we as a church, why we don't fast when, as a congregation ever, and work on that and try to grow closer to God together through that. And we're going to look at some examples of in the Old Testament and the New Testament about why people fast and the reasons they fasted. And the first one we're going to look at is mourning. People in the Bible use fasting as a sign of mourning, and they would use that to get over their grief and to get through their grief and to bring God into them and help them get through their grief. And we can do that as Christians today, just as they did back then. And the first person I want to look at is David and his men. David and his warriors in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for his son Jonathan, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen to the sword." Here we see David and his mighty men, and then they just found out that Saul and Jonathan, their loved ones, had fallen in battle. And they're so grieved by that. They're so upset. And so what they do is they fast. That is their first reaction. And that is something that we completely disregard in today's society. We go straight to grief and we pray, but we never accompany that prayer with fasting like we're commanded to do. And like we have examples of the great men that do that in the Bible. So why do we forego that? Another reason that we fast is to show repentance for when we have fallen away from God. When we have grown so far away from God, and we know that we've hurt Him, and we know that we aren't living the life that we're supposed to live, we can fast to show God that we want to give our lives back to Him. We show submission to Him. And in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, we see the people of Nineveh. They realize that they have sinned, and their first reaction is to fast. Here in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, it reads, "And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them." And if you've looked at Jonah before, you've looked at the book of Jonah, you know that the people of Nineveh were a scary people. They were a scary nation. They were filled with sin. And that's why Jonah was scared to go to them. But when they realized that they had sinned, the first thing that they did was fasted. And they took that time to let God into their heart and to show Him and to show themselves that they were being submissive to God, that they were giving themselves away to the things of this world and putting themselves and their lives back in the hands of God. And that's something that we forego a lot. And in our life, and then at the end of the verse, it doesn't say that only a few people fasted. It said they all fasted, from the greatest of them to the least of them. We shouldn't be too proud to fast. We shouldn't be too proud to give up things of this world in order to celebrate God, in order to concentrate on God. And the last, and one other thing that, another reason that we can fast is, fasting in the Bible is connected to many great spiritual events. And it's also connected to people prayed and fasted for people before they would go on missionary journeys. In the Old Testament, we see Moses, while he's receiving the commandments in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. When he is on Mount Sinai, he's getting the Ten Commandments. He's in the presence of the Lord. And what is he doing? He's not eating and he's not drinking anything. He is completely focused on the Lord, and he's completely filled up with his spirit as he's getting the Ten Commandments. And as we see that, that relates to Jesus. Before he started his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, we see him and he's in the wilderness. And he's gone 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking. He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, just like Moses did. And before he faces the devil, he is fasted. And so for us as Christians, we need to take that into consideration and think about the fact that before we take on the temptations of the world, maybe we should fast. Maybe when life's getting hard, when temptations are coming down on us and we can't really handle it, we don't know what to do, maybe we should fast. Put ourselves away from this world and bring God into our lives and ask Him to really put, to be our strength, to be our guidance, and pray for that. Praying and fasting goes hand in hand, as you'll see in many of these verses as we're coming up. People would pray and fast for people before they would go on their missionary journeys. As we see in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, we see the church is about to send Paul and Barnabas off on their very first missionary journey. This great missionary journey, and what do? They pray and fast for them before they send them off. It reads, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." The first thing they did for them was worship. And they would pray and they fasted for them. So why is a church today, when we send off people into missionary journeys, why is a church today when we go out on missionary campaigns just in our communities, why don't we come together as a church and participate in a fast together? Why can't we do that? It's not like it has to be the 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus went through. It's not like it has to be the 40 days and 40 nights that Moses went through. It can be one day. It can be 2 days. It can be 3 days. Whatever you think you need to do to get connected to God. Here in Judges chapter 20, verse 26, we see that it says, "Then all the people of Israel, the whole army, went up and came to Bethel and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." It doesn't have to be a long fast. It doesn't have to be a week. I'm not asking you to fast for a month. I'm not asking you to fast every month, even once a month. It's just whatever that you can do to get yourself appropriately connected to God. Because this is a great way to do that, that we oftentimes, we just completely disregard. And I can't help but think, as we move into some commandments from Jesus here in just a second, that we've just gotten lazy. We've completely disregarded Jesus' commandment. There's plain evidences and commandments from Jesus in the Bible that say that we are to fast. And we completely disregard that. In the reading that Lance had for us, Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, it talks about Jesus as the bridegroom. And he's talking about not fasting as the Pharisees and as John's disciples do, because he was there. Because they were in the presence of the bridegroom, so his disciples didn't have to fast. But he said, there will come a time when the bridegroom leaves, when Jesus left, his apostles were commanded to fast. His disciples were commanded to fast again, just like we are today. He didn't ask a question. He didn't question that they will fast again. He made a statement. They will fast again. There will be a need for fasting. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, it says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces with their fasting, may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." He doesn't say, if you fast. Jesus says, when you fast. And he doesn't say it so that we'll go out and we'll brag about it and be trying to be like the Pharisees and the hypocrites and say, "Oh, look at me, I'm fasting, I'm such a good person, I'm such a good Christian because I'm fasting." He says it so that we can get connected to our God, to prove to him that we don't need the things of this world, that we can put ourselves away from those things, and that we can come into contact with him, and we can connect with God in prayer and fasting. And we've given up the things of this world, and we're totally feeding ourselves with God. We're totally filling ourselves up with the Spirit of God in that moment. And we're praying and talking to him and getting closer than we can get through other ways. And we can do that through fasting. And this is something that I struggle with. I do. I'm sure there's some of you out there that do too. And tonight I ask you that if you've fallen away from God, if you've grown away from him, you've given your life to him at some point, but you don't feel like you're living the way that you should be, you don't feel like you're walking with God in the right way, you don't feel like your relationship with him is there, tonight you can come forward and we'll pray for you and we'll pray with you. Or maybe tonight you've never put Christ on in baptism. Maybe you've never acknowledged that he is the Lord and Savior and that he will carry you through life. Tonight you can do that too as we come, as we stand, as we sing.